In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In 1943, the English poet and writer W.H. Auden wrote a column in which he said, "If a Christian is asked, why Jesus and not Socrates or Buddha or Confucius or Muhammad, perhaps all he can say is none of the others arouse all sides of my being to cry out, crucify him. None of the others arouse all sides of my being to cry out, crucify him." What did Auden mean, and why was Jesus crucified? Why did the crowd cry out with such unanimity that this man should be executed? This is the question that we are forced to confront every Good Friday. What is it about our Lord that incites such resistance, such rage? Well, as with most of the polysymphony of the New Testament, there are many different reasons. But this afternoon, I want to suggest one of them, which is disappointment. Projection, which is punctured with reality. That is how I might describe disappointment. And you live with your own disappointments, do you not? Disappointed that the world is not what you would have it be. Disappointed that your life is not what you would have had it be. Your marriage, your children, the governance, I don't know. That you are not who you would have yourself be. I was struck a few weeks ago by a testimonial that appeared in the New York Times by a Duke Divinity professor, Kate Bowler. She is a woman who's spent her adult life studying the prosperity gospel and religious history in this country. She's 35, and this past, or a couple years ago, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she wrote this about her life after the diagnosis. She said that cancer has kicked down the walls of my life. I cannot be certain I will walk my son to his elementary school someday or subject his love interest to cheerful scrutiny. I have surrendered my favorite manifestos about having it all, managing work-life balance, and maximizing my potential. Cancer requires that I stumble around in the debris of dreams I thought I was entitled to and plans I didn't realize I had made. Now, you don't have to have cancer to identify with that description. Life, adult life, as stumbling around in the debris of dreams you thought you were entitled to and plans you didn't realize you had made. That is what it means to be disappointed. And I believe we can all find some resonance there. The disappointment that we meet on Good Friday is twofold. The first disappointment is that you and I are the kind of people who would crucify Jesus. Not the Jews, not the Romans, but you and me. The second disappointment is that Jesus is the type of God who would allow himself to be crucified. Now, what do I mean? To the first point, that we are the kind of people who would crucify our Lord. Well, you hear a lot of bromides in our culture about human potential and progress, and some optimism which is well-founded, but most of which isn't, most of which rings hollow. I was struck by a new book that has arrived from a man named John Robison, who suffers from, or is... He wouldn't even say suffers from. He has severe Asperger's syndrome. Now, Asperger's syndrome is the inability to read social cues to the parts of the brain which are responsible for your emotional intelligence simply don't work in the same way. He underwent an experimental therapy called transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. in which doctors use electricity somehow to activate the neurological pathways that would deepen his emotional intelligence. And it worked, but only for a short time. And that's what this book is about. It sounds like a sci-fi novel. But he found something interesting. As the nonverbal cues became increasingly legible to him, he first realized that a longtime friend had been subtly mocking him for years. But more profoundly, he discovered that neurotypical humans, meaning you and me, are not, as a rule, happy. I quote, "I had created a fantasy that seeing into people would be sweetness and love. Now I knew the truth. Most of the emotions floating around in space are not positive. When you look into a crowd with real emotional insight, you'll see lust, greed, rage, anxiety, and what, for lack of a better word, I call tension, with only the occasional flash of love or happiness." Now, that may not be the description you want of any crowd you're a part of, but it is certainly one that resonates with our story today. And furthermore, not only are we people that harbor these unpleasant emotions, these negative, often malicious feelings, well, what do we do with that animus? It's not just internal, is it? Today, Good Friday disappoints us that we are not those who are passive. We are those who look for a scapegoat. The French philosopher René Girard, who died this year, his famous theory about scapegoating was that man's impulse in the face of a crisis is essentially a violent one. Rather than face suffering and pain head on, we seek out an object of blame and heap violence upon him, she, it. This deludes us into believing that the terrors of this world are within our control. That's why we do it. You don't have to look far to see this kind of violence. Just look at our political process currently. You don't have to go to Brussels. And yet this day serves as a powerful reminder that we are not in control. Our collective ego, however much it may rage against the dying of the light, does not rule the day. Mortality, that which we cannot control, is the final word. This is ironic, since American Christianity, to paraphrase Kate Bowler, has taken a religion based on the contemplation of a dying man and fashioned it into a vehicle of control, of self-rule, self-improvement, one which denies most of our humanity, our fragile bodies, our finitude, our need to stare down our deaths at least once in a while and be filled with dread and wonder. Bowler goes on to talk about what the disappointment of her cancer, which has doubled as a disillusionment, has wrought in her life. She says that cancer has also ushered in new ways of being alive. Everything feels as if it is painted in bright colors. In my vulnerability, I am seeing my world without the Instagrammed filter of breezy certainties and perfectible moments. I find myself returning to the same thoughts again and again. Life is so beautiful, yet life is so hard. The second disappointment, and perhaps the greater one, is that Jesus, this God-man, is the kind that allows himself to be crucified. Perhaps that sounds rote. You've heard it too many times. Jesus died for your sins. But make no mistake, this is not just the death of a man in history. This is the death of the dream of God. Because if we're honest, most of our conceptions of God are bound up with our projections of whatever hopes or fears or hang-ups enmesh us at any given stage of life. We want someone to improve us, a God who will draw out the real, better me, or at least a God who will validate my opinions, someone who will make my life better and ease my feelings of emptiness and uncertainty. Auden himself said that we are inclined to worship not to remake God in our own image, but to remake God in an image of our image of ourselves. Not even honest. Jesus Christ is a disappointment to our religious aspirations. We want to be told what to do. We want him to bring a new law, maybe one that's easier to keep. Or barring that, we want him to deliver us into power. We want him to overthrow the Romans, whatever the occupying force in your life may be. And yet Good Friday makes it supremely clear, blatantly clear, uncomfortably clear that Christianity is not a wish fulfillment scheme. This God is not like us. This is the God who, when given the opportunity, remains silent, who refuses to recognize our precious merits and our hierarchies. This Jesus is freedom, and we hate freedom, at least if our relationships and economies are any indication. We prefer a system of fair exchange, of mutuality, of reward and punishment, of deserving, not of indiscriminate compassion or free grace. And yet, what does unconditional love do? It removes any leverage you and I might offer, any hierarchy on which we stand, any control. It is so threatening to us and to our systems that the one time unconditional love was made fully manifest in history, we killed it. And yet this is why Good Friday is good. It's not happy, but it's good. It's good because Christ does not offer us sound advice. He does not appeal to our better angels. He makes no stirring speeches to inspire us to make better choices. He knows that we are stuck in the debris of our dreams. And even if we're in denial about that, even if the culture is in denial about that, he is not. Instead, he allows himself to be killed, bearing our sin, bearing our law-breaking, our disappointment, our scapegoating, our stunningly bad choices, and our failed dreams. In other words, he doesn't give us a new dream. He gives us himself. In lieu of an answer or a voice or an explanation on Good Friday, all we get is all we need, which is a man hanging from a cross. Amen.